Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Boy, the telethon went great. We're at, 122%? It ended yesterday. Thank you all so very much. $25,000 goal. We took in over $30,000 so far, and there's still more coming in. Thank you all. We got a lot in the news. Remember that Bill Bennett is doing everything he can with his national morning radio show to convince pro-life Christians to support Rudy Giuliani. And Rudy Giuliani, as you know, is radically anti-Christian in his worldview, radically. Radically pro-homosexual rights, even homosexual marriage, radically pro-abortion, even supporting the horrendously egregious, obviously wicked killing of late-term babies through partial birth abortion. And Bill Bennett is... He takes this anti-Christian mayor who became famous because of his response during 9/11 in New York City and is doing what he can to convince Christians to support somebody. Well, he has a chance of winning. That's why. And, you know, Hitler had a chance of winning. Hitler had a chance of winning. And the Nazis did a little bit better than the Marxists in the votes taken in Germany in the 1930s. So if you're not willing to hold the standard and obey God's enduring command, do not murder, then there is no logical place for you to stop compromising. I wouldn't be shocked to see National Right to Life come out eventually for Rudy Giuliani. I don't know how they do it. They'd probably find a way to give him a 100% pro-life rating. That's what they normally do, right? When National Right to Life gives someone a 100% pro-life rating, you could assume they're probably a pro-abort because they get, $500,000 from the Republican National Committee during presidential election years. And so they sold out many, many, many years ago. All right, so that's Bill Bennett. You heard it here. Remember, Bill Bennett, and he is one of the many. We also interviewed a while back Hugh Hewitt, who I asked him, what if Rudy Giuliani is the party's nominee? And without qualm, without equivocation, Hugh Hewitt said he would support Rudy Giuliani. And so at what point would you not support a man who's a mass murderer, supports killing unborn children, even aggressively like Rudy Giuliani? What if he supports killing Jews? I once asked the president of the Colorado State Republican Party, Bruce Benson, in his office with a manager, a mid-level manager from IBM. The IBM manager and I went to meet with Bruce Benson and asked him about his support for politicians who are willing to kill some kids. And he wasn't pro-life, but, you know, we were naive then back in the late 80s, early 90s. And so talked to him, and we tried to make it really clear for him and asked him, well, Bruce, what if you were in Germany and Adolf Hitler is running and he wants to kill 6 million Jews, and you found out that somebody else was running, maybe Stalin, and he wanted to kill 10 million Jews. So what would you do? And he said, I'd work for Hitler. Of course, that's what he would do. That is the natural extension of when you are off the foundation of God's enduring commands. When you are no longer committed to truth, but you are committed to political pragmatism, that's your chief aim in life, then you're in big trouble. That's called humanism. That's called moral relativism. And that's where the entire body of Christ is. And that's where many of our quasi-religious pro-life spokespeople are, like Hugh Hewitt and Michael Medved and Dennis Prager and Bill Bennett. Could you add any others to the list? Start adding organizations. They'll fall right in line. So Operation Save America was so cool. This was a long time ago. Operation Save America, Flip Benham, dear friend of Bob and Eric Live, he's the Reverend Flip Benham. He wrote a piece, and this was back at the Republican National Convention. I think it was the same week I interviewed Hugh Hewitt from the floor of the convention. And he republished this piece he wrote a few years ago on their website at OperationSaveAmerica.org. And what Flip Benham was pointing out is that the primetime speakers at the Republican National Convention were all pro-aborts. They were all pro-aborts, and that they were basically just conditioning the Christian pro-lifers who were all goo-goo gaga over the speakers in the convention and their party. They were conditioning them to accept increasingly the role of pro-aborts in the Republican Party, and eventually a pro-abort, hardcore child killer running for president with the support of Christian pro-lifers. And that is what is happening before our very eyes. So Christian leaders have met in Florida this past week, just devastated. They don't know what to do. The Council for National Policy, a secretive club whose few hundred members include Dr. James C. Dobson and Reverend Jerry Falwell and Grover Norquist of Americans for Tax Reform. Council for National Policy, I attended, you could only attend those meetings by invitation only, and I attended one that was held in Chicago a few years back. And, you know, it'd be an honor to meet and talk with Dr. Dobson and Jerry Falwell. But I attended, and the people who were speaking, I have to tell you, I felt sick to my stomach, nauseous. I felt like I was going to lose my lunch over the conditioning to compromise on God's enduring commands in order to gain political victory, to get a seat at the table. After all, don't you know it? We want to be kingmakers. We want to be kingmakers. We want to have a say. And to have a say in democracy and majority rules, you have to be willing to compromise. And hey, compromising on do not murder, that's a small price to pay to have a seat at the table. And that table, you know what it reminds me of in the Bible? Where is it? In the book of Isaiah? Is it in Isaiah where God says, the table, it's all set for you. It's all set. The dishes are out, the silverware, it's all set, and it's dripping with vomit. That's how God describes the table that's all set for the rulers, the people who want. It's all set. There it is. It's set for your banquet, and it's dripping with vomit. Jesus said, I would rather you be hot or cold. If you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Jesus said that. He said that in the Old Testament, right, when God was mean. Oh, he didn't say it in the Old Testament. That's in the New Testament. Man. And so here we are, desperate, so desperate to have a temporal political victory. And I hear, who's the blonde out of Boston, conservative talk show host, Laura Ingraham, Shut Up and Sing. That's the title of the book she wrote. Laura Ingraham is lamenting this judge, federal judge in Boston, that forced the homosexual agenda on kids in the public schools there and ruled against the Christian parents who sued that they didn't want their kids to be exposed to this homosexual agenda. Now, the Christian parents should take this as a sign. It's not the first sign. It's about the 387th sign that they need to pull their kids out of the godless public education system. But no, they're willing to sacrifice their kids to try to influence the public school system. Personally, I'd rather sacrifice the public school system and protect my kids. But there are many Christian parents who are willing to sacrifice their kids as little missionaries, even if the kids are totally backslidden, not living for the Lord, say they're in 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, and the parents keep them in the public schools. That's why we've been selling Bruce Short's book, The Harsh Truth About Public School, warning people. If you haven't read that book, if your kids go to public school and you need convincing to pull them out, call us up, 800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278, or go to our website, kgov.com. Click on the store. We'll be happy to sell you a book. We sold a copy of that book just yesterday, was it? Shipped it out. And even when their kids are backsliding, they still keep them going to a godless school with a godless education system. So that exposes their supposed defense that we're sending our kids there as a mission field. Okay, so your kid is backslidden. He's trying to seduce the girls in his classroom, and he's there as a missionary? He's not there as a missionary. He's there so you don't have to have the responsibility of giving him a Christian education. That's why he's there. It's convenient. And a lot of people destroy their kids for convenience. Some people abort them. Some people put them in 13 years of a godless education. And then they're shocked when they turn out despising their parents and hating God. How could that have happened? We sent him for 13 years to a godless education system. We thought he'd come out great. We thought at 7 years old, he's a little missionary. What a tragedy. Absolute tragedy. I get so upset regarding these moral issues with so many people sacrificing so much, meaning their children, their opportunity to honor God, and they chase after lies. And the lies are so obvious. Like in the book of Proverbs, there's the moral road. There's the godly path that's in the sun. And then you could turn off of that and take the path through the darkness. And the difference between the two paths are so obvious. That's why Jesus said, I will spit you out of my mouth. I'd rather you be hot or cold. So what do you call the Christian pro-lifer who says, well, I support this bill here. This bill says, and then you could kill the baby. But I support it because I think it moves us closer to our political direction. You support a law that says, and then you could kill the baby? Oh, yeah, don't you know I would support laws that say, and then you could kill the Jews? You see, the problem is that God said, do not murder, and we don't have the authority to compromise or violate God's enduring command, do not murder, even if we think it's going to lead us to some elusive victory. After 40 years, we should have wake up and realize we're utter failures. But even if we thought it would lead us to victory, we still shouldn't do it, because it dishonors God and it disobeys God. But it can't lead you to victory when the abortion industry, the foundation of their whole position, is that the unborn child is not a person. And every law that compromises on do not murder solidifies that lie that the baby is not a person. States' rights regarding abortion solidifies the lie that the baby is not a personhood. It destroys the personhood argument. So I'm going to go back to my news story here. I get all worked up. Now I want to talk about the public school libraries just for a moment, because the public school librarians, do we trust them with what our kids, what is healthy for our kids to absorb into their minds? Let me give you the littlest example that I just came across accidentally at Amazon.com. There's a book. I'm not even going to give the title of it. It's just a book of all disgusting things. And so kids, of course, right? You want to have a TV cartoon series that kids will like. You fill it with bathroom humor. That's what you do. Bathroom humor, sexual innuendo, and kids will flock to it, of course. Kids, for kids to be crude, our role as adults is to try to work them out of that. But the public schools, this public school library journal reviews this disgusting book. They couldn't praise it more. Bathroom humor, crude humor for kids 4 to 8. No, thank you. We'll pass with our family. Let's go to Denver, Colorado. Dan, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Oh, hi, Bob. It's nice to talk to you. I've followed you for years, and ever since they were coming down on you for being a good parent, and I support you 100%.
Thank you, Dan. That's back years ago, what, 12 years ago when I spanked
Oh,
my
yeah.
stepson, five swats on the backside.
That's got to be a major crime, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly, to be a loving parent. But our kids love us, and they love the Lord. And so they could persecute you, but when you love the Lord, you're in a good position.
Yeah, praise God. Of course, I support you 100% on everything you're saying with these people going to compromise on abortion and everything else to try to get the power, you know?
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, the thing that really bugs me, and this is why I was calling you, is, you know, I really agree with you. You need to pull your kids out of these ungodly schools where they're trying to force homosexuality and drugs and sex and everything down your kid's throat, trying to make them use condoms and take a shot to not get the cancer of the cervix. And then, but they won't tell them don't have sex. They'll just tell them use all this sinful stuff.
They tell them that don't have sex unless you think you're ready. That's what they tell them.
Yeah, right. Well, what kid doesn't think they're ready? You
yeah,
know?
Of course. The inmates are running the asylum.
Yes, they are. But, Bob, the main thing that bothers me is I pay property tax in Aurora and in Clear Creek County.
Yeah.
I pay $3,000 a year for property taxes, and they spend that money on these public schools.
Right.
And it's really difficult for somebody who makes $50,000 a year paying all of the bills to pull your kids out and put them in private schools, and they're still stealing your money to go to the public schools.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we get this to where, I mean, we need vouchers, we need something where we can at least do what we need to do or get these ungodly people from running
these
schools.
Dan, we should do everything we can do to expose how destructive the public schools are, but we should not advocate vouchers. Because
I don't know what the solution is, but as long as they steal the money or they're going to take my house. So
yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, sometimes there might be a government program where you could apply and get money. And even though the program itself, we want to shut it down, it may not be wrong to apply and get the money since we paid in the money. But
exactly. But
that doesn't mean then we advocate that program, because the government doesn't have the right to take money by force from my family to educate your kids.
Well, that's what they do. If you got your kids in private school, you know, you're paying double.
I know, but the government doesn't have that right. Would you agree with that?
Oh, I agree. They don't have any right. As a matter of fact, they don't have any right to income tax.
Let's just stick on this issue. We could talk about income tax on another call.
They're stealing our liberties,
Dan,
left and right.
Dan, slow down. I know you're all worked up. But listen, I think you just agreed that the government does not have the right to take money from me and use it to pay for school for your kids.
Exactly.
Okay, so listen, you've now contradicted yourself on this call. So could you identify the contradiction you've made and then correct it?
That the government has no right to take anybody's money and pay for somebody else's kid's education.
Right. You're agreeing with that. So that contradicts.
I totally agree with that.
So that contradicts something you said earlier.
Well, tell me what it was, because I missed it.
You said we should support. You said maybe we should support vouchers.
Well, I'm saying maybe we should support something that would let it quit taking my money and spending it on what they think is good when it's not good. It's evil.
All right, Dan, I know that. I know that. But let's not confuse ourselves, because there's so many options in the marketplace of ideas. And it's very normal that conservative Christians who love God support things that are evil every day of the week.
Well, by force they do. They just take it right out of my paycheck. They take it right out of my house.
Well, Dan, let's stay focused like a laser beam here on vouchers.
Yes.
Does the government have the right to take money from me and give it to someone else to pay for their kids' education?
Well, not at all. As far as I'm concerned, the government has no right to take anybody's money.
Well,
that's
Dan,
liberty.
I'd rather not broaden it that far, okay?
Yeah.
But if you're agreeing the government doesn't have the right to take money from me and give it to another family for their kids' education.
Yes, I agree. You should be able to spend your money on what you think is fit.
So therefore, Dan, when you say, well, maybe we should support vouchers, you are advocating something you believe to be evil.
Well, I don't know how we can get them to quit taking our property
tax.
Okay,
look at what you just did. You just said, because I want a specific political goal, I'm willing to support something evil to achieve my political goal. What makes you different than the liberal?
Well, I'm really not willing to support it, but I don't see where we have a choice when...
No. Dan, you always have a choice between good and evil.
I can't not pay my property tax.
Of course not.
I can't give them my income tax.
Well, yeah, right. You'd lose your freedom. You'd lose your property.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't advocate doing evil that good might come of it. So you know, you're one of the people who know that it's evil to take money by force from one family to use it to pay for the education of another family.
Right.
So if you know that and you're willing to do what's evil to bring about a change you want to bring about, then what chance do we have of ever influencing our culture for good?
We all by force, when you go in the store and you buy something and they take a tax and they use that tax to
That's
do something
That's a different
evil.
Topic, Dan. I don't want to let you off the hook. That's a different topic.
I don't know if we have a choice.
You always have a choice about doing evil or good.
I don't think we do. I think our society does evil with our money after they've already got it.
That's not you. That's not you. Jesus Christ said, show me the tax money.
Right.
And they showed it to him. And he said,
under Caesar, what's Caesar's?
And he said, whose face is on that? And they said, Caesar's.
It's Caesar's face.
So he said, therefore, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. So if you pay your tax, you pay tax, and the government does something evil, or if you fly on United Airlines and they support the homosexual agenda, you are not sinning because you flew on United Airlines or because you paid your tax.
Well, if I had a choice, I sure would. I agree with, I've got a real good friend who he's advocated we should be able to pay the taxes we feel are important and not pay the taxes we don't feel.
Well, that's
important.
Not very workable because almost everyone would say, I don't think any of the taxes are worthwhile.
Well, no, most people would say,
No.
Taxes for the road, taxes for the
military. If it was up to people, they would decide not to pay taxes. That's a Pollyanna view.
If they wanted to drive on the road, they would probably pay a tax to use the road.
Why? There's a lot of deadbeats who want to live off other people.
Yeah, you got to police it up and say, hey, you didn't pay your taxes for the road. Guess what? You're walking.
All right, that's too complicated. And everyone should have the right. Everyone should have the right to travel, whether they're poor or not.
Well, you could walk. Doesn't mean you have to have a road.
Well, you walk
on
a sidewalk. No, you walk on a road. You walk on a sidewalk. Sidewalks and roads are the same thing from the government's perspective.
Yeah.
So anyway, Dan, listen, here's what I want you to do. I would like you to say, hey, you know what? When I advocated vouchers a few minutes ago, I blew it because I was advocating something evil out of frustration.
Well, I would say I blew it, but I don't know what is the alternative.
Okay, that's so easy. The alternative is to do right. So it's right to expose how destructive the public schools are. It's It's right to try to pull kids out of the public schools. That's all right.
Well, I'd like to put my kids in private schools. Of course, my kids are probably as old as your kids now. They're kind of grown, you know.
Yeah.
But they went to school a long time ago, and I wanted to put them in a Church of God private school.
Yeah.
But of course, it's real difficult when I didn't have any extra money and I was paying these property taxes that pay for the public schools.
So you sent your kids to the public school?
Yep. Because I didn't have money to do it.
Do you think it hurt them?
Actually, no. My kids are probably some of the strongest Christians that you would meet.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. But
they helped some of the other kids in the public schools.
My board operator is young. How old are you? 23, and when I asked, do you think their public school education hurt them, and you said no, he started shaking his head big time.
Hey, Bob, you know something?
What?
My two sons, neither one had sex before marriage.
That is wonderful.
One of them's married now. The other one has a girlfriend, and they are in the process of getting married. They are...
All right.
I claim the blood of Jesus over my sons, and I prayed for them, and they were protected, and they are blessed.
Hey, Dan, I'm glad to hear that. But, you know, some people went through Nazi concentration camps.
Yeah.
And they loved God.
That's
not a testimony that concentration camps are good for Christians.
No, I agree.
Right. And
I agree.
You know,
public schools aren't good for kids, and I have to agree with that 100%.
All right. Hey, thank you so much, Dan.
We need to figure out how to make them quit taking our money to pay for these public schools, though.
Well, one way is to continue to expose how destructive they are and to pull kids, to get people to pull their kids out of the public schools. I mean, those are good things you can do with no downsides at all.
They are, but when you have people that are struggling to get by and tell
that's
them
no,
to put
that
them
is
in private schools that do
that,
cost money.
Dan,
you know?
Listen, that's no justification. If Joseph and Mary, I'm sure they struggled. If they would have given little Jesus over at 5-6 years of age to the local Palestinians, or to the Ishmaelites, or to the pagan Romans, and said, here, educate him. Or if any Jewish family would have taken their children and put them on a Philistine chariot, or sent them off to the Canaanites to be educated, I think God would have, because back then, God was interacting with Israel in a way he's not doing today. I think he would have opened up the earth and sucked that family down into hell alive. And today, we Christians think it's acceptable to turn our kids over to a godless education system. And you know what? The testimony that you give of your kids, that might lure some other Christian parent into a false sense of security. Dan's kids went to public school. They turned out great. I'll send my two little girls.
Hey, and, Bob, I'll tell you what. You've got to love your kids and claim the blood of Jesus over your kids. And I think no matter where they end up working or where they end up going, they're gonna have a Christian faith if they have a strong faith in God.
Well, Dan, you just said that's a tautology. You said they're going to have a Christian faith if they have a strong faith in God. Well, of course, that's true. But if you put your kids in a bad environment and you pray the blood of Jesus Christ over them, that doesn't justify it.
No,
in the vast majority of people, Christians, who send their kids to public school, they love their kids, they pray for their kids, and their kids turn out hating God. So I don't want to lure any mom or dad into a false sense of security that Dan's kids survived the public schools, so we're going to go ahead and put our kids in there.
Yeah, well, I agree with you, Bob.
All right, hey, we're out of time, all right?
Okay, thank you.
God bless you, Dan.
God bless you,
hey,
thanks.
Coming up March 14th at the Brown Palace, 7 p.m. in the evening, I will be presenting Focus on the Strategy. Focus on the Strategy 2. It's going to be great. It's $30 a person, $50 for a couple. We're going to have a great time of fellowship. And then we'll do this on April 12th down in Colorado Springs. And remember, April 25th at the Capitol, Colorado Right to Life, Alan Keyes, Judy Brown. That'll be great. So we're out of time. But Maranatha Christian Center, what a neat school.